Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go!
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side to the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky ends 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time is always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, where Ram Power Days continue. My favorite, 2017 Ram 1500 Bighorn. Crew cab 4x4. Lease that one for $188 a month. That is a 36-month fleet. By the way, visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Glad to have you on board, everybody, on this. Boy, things starting to cool down in this area, northwest Ohio, southeast Michigan. Good football weather. Speaking of which, got to tell you what, must see on Saturday. Well, of course, we'll have it right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. I was a little surprised that the Ohio State Buckeyes are favored in that game by, well, I don't want to say a large number, but it's 6.5 points. I thought that would be a little bit closer than that. And of course, the guys that handicapped this in Las Vegas, you just throw 3 points in to the home team. So that would make it 3, but they even have Ohio State another 3.5 on top of that. That was after Penn State shellacking of Michigan, where the folks are still just outraged up in Detroit. You read all the papers, whether it's the Detroit papers, Toledo papers, you go online, people not taking this loss to Penn State, the Michigan fans anyways, you know, very easily. Michigan, by the way, Rutgers, they're tied for 4th in the East. They get together this weekend. Michigan's favored by 23.5. So, must-see football on the weekend. By the way, the Rockets get back in action against Ball State on Thursday night. Bowling Green, Maction as well, coming up this week. We'll have that game right here as part of the Cumulus Cluster. So that time of the year, football winding down. Baseball World Series tonight in Los Angeles, where we understand it will be 100 degrees tonight in Los Angeles. Pretty good pitching matchup tonight. Keuchel against Kershaw. Both those guys have won Cy Youngs. Verlander, by the way, won a Cy Young himself. He'll be taking on Hill in the game number 2. So, again, that's what's on the agenda tonight. We'll start with Tim May. Tim May is the longtime writer for the Columbus Dispatch. Tim, also an author, a historian of Ohio State Buckeye football. He will join us at 5:15 tonight. The Lions, by the way, get back into action Sunday night against Pittsburgh. Lions have lost 2 straight. They're 3-3 on the year. Everybody basically said this is the best time of the year for a banged-up Detroit Lions team to get a bye week. We'll see if they came back better, see if there's any news on Taylor Decker. Pittsburgh's won 2 straight, by the way. They lead the AFC North by a couple of games. Glover Quinn of the Lions. He's a guy that they hope to get back in the lineup. He has been battling some concussion issues. We'll see how Matt Stafford's doing. Also want to touch on this DeShone Kizer situation, of course, over in Cleveland. And I know Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, wrote a story on that today as well. So, what's going on with Cleveland? Are you going to bust this guy's confidence up? The only thing, anytime you play Penn State. You got to worry about a lot of things. But the one thing, of course, you got to worry about Barkley and McSorley for Penn State. Again, Ohio State favored in that game. 3:30 kick. Jim, what's the pregame show Saturday with the Buckeyes?
That would be a 2 o'clock for the pregame for the 3:30 kick right here, of course, on the ticket.
How about Sunday's game, Lions, 8:30 kick on Sunday Night Football?
That'll be a 6:30 coverage time right here on the ticket as they return to Sunday Night Football. We'll have the various other games, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One before that, because there's three before the Sunday night, because this is one of those London week games as well. So we'll have that one, early morning football for you here on Sunday on the ticket.
Well, good stuff, of course. The National Football League, again, reaching the halfway point, 16-game regular season. Lions 3-3. They were 3-1 at one time. Tough game against Pittsburgh. I would guess the Lions will drop below 500 to 3-4. But then, after that, if you take a look at the Detroit Lions schedule, they're going to have to make some hay. I'm not saying, listen, I'm not conceding that game to the to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization at all. But I have to tell you, Pittsburgh playing about as well as anybody right now in the National Football League. The Detroit Lions then have a little bit of a, I don't want to say easier schedule. Anytime you play at the professional level, you got to be weary and ready for your opponent. But after Pittsburgh at Green Bay, that's another 8:30 starter. But, of course, Aaron Rodgers out of the lineup there. Cleveland, 1 o'clock on the 12th at Chicago. Chicago coming off a surprising win. Minnesota playing better than I thought they would. Baltimore's down. They're at Baltimore on December the 3rd. Tampa Bay at home. Chicago at home at Cincinnati. That is on the 24th of December, Christmas Eve, and home against Green Bay. So I'm going to guess, for sure, 9-7 might get Detroit in. 8-8 is probably going to be a coin toss. So that's it. Little Ohio State football right around the corner. Little Detroit Lions football right around the corner as well. We will be back with more. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King. All of our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust.
It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Coming to you tonight from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board. 5:35 tonight, Mike O'Hara will join us. We'll talk Detroit Lions football. Lions had a bye week. They have Pittsburgh coming into Detroit on Sunday night. Of course, we'll have the game here right on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Of course, we have each and every Ohio State Buckeye game as well. I can tell you on Saturday when they take on Penn State, pregame show is at 2 o'clock with the kickoff at 3:30. So Lions coming up at 5:35 after our TAS Electronics update. Joining us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, author, historian, beat writer, Columbus Dispatch, covers the Buckeyes, Tim May. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Pretty good, Mike. I'm probably one out of five of those, but I'll take it.
Okay, very good. No, I got you. I got you penciled in for more than that. Hey, must see television. I know you won't be watching on television. My biggest challenge on Saturday will be in the northern reaches of Ontario in Canada, trying to find a place that will have the game. We have a day off in the midst of a road trip for hockey, so I'll be scrambling on Saturday afternoon to see this tremendous matchup, Penn State and the Ohio State Buckeyes. First things first, I was a little surprised that our friends out in Las Vegas made the Ohio State Buckeyes a 6.5-point favorite.
Well, I think they were 9 at one point, in the futures market, or maybe more than that at one point. So I think everybody saw that game Saturday night and decided, hey, Penn State is definitely for real. And, of course, Penn State beat Ohio State last year, but, the odds makers, people who watch the games closely know that that game turned on a blocked punt that was turned into a field goal and a blocked field goal that Penn State returned for a touchdown and wiped out an Ohio State lead over at Happy Valley. So, if both of these teams have improved, you think it might be, to a certain extent, sort of a push of the same as it was last year. But without a doubt, Penn State's playing with an elan or a confidence right now that's obvious, but so is Ohio State. And, on the one hand, Ohio State's played five straight pushovers. If you count the United States Army a pushover, Penn State has gotten by, got by Iowa by the skin of its teeth on the last play of the game, but then, you know, and had a little bit of a tussle with Northwestern, but otherwise has kind of run roughshod over its, the other teams it's played, including Michigan, which at one point was in the top five of the country. So, I can see where you could make Ohio State the favorite only because it's at home and that's worth at least 3 points to begin with.
Yeah, just touched on that. We figure the home advantage is always 3 points. Hey, Tim, you mentioned JT Barrett and Ohio State rolling up 50 points now week after week after week after that Oklahoma loss. What have you seen different? Except, listen, I love the guy. I think he's done a tremendous job there on all levels, record-setting almost every time he comes out. Rolling up the points of the teams that you just put in a category that I don't care who you're playing, numbers that the Ohio State Buckeyes have put up, still impressive. What are they doing right now?
You know, everybody looks at JT, you know, as the barometer, and, you know, probably rightly so, because how the quarterback goes, so goes your team, but it also is a barometer of how well the team is playing. And, you know, their passing game has gotten much better for several reasons, one of which is Ryan Day coming in with Kevin Wilson. Both of those guys brought some new ideas to the passing game, enhanced the attack, as they like to say, and as Urban Meyer likes to say. But they're doing a lot more hitting players on the run, crossing routes, kind of playing to the strengths of some of their receivers. They still haven't had just that over the top big time receiver emerge, although Benjamin Victor may be getting there sooner rather than later. But, you know, it's a group of receivers. If you kind of get them in open space and they catch the ball, they can do something with it. And that includes the tight ends, which is where Kevin Wilson comes in. I mean, you know, he really uses tight ends well at Indiana the last several years. And before that, when he's the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. And now you're seeing that come to bear with Marcus Ball and Rashad Berry. Rashad Berry might be the biggest breakout player in the Big Ten this year when it's all said and done if he continues on his upward track. And so you've got these guys playing better. The offensive line, for the most part, protecting better, but that's all going to come to a test on Saturday against Penn State, which plays aggressive, get-in-your-face defense and is going to test Isaiah Prince at right tackle and second-game collegiate starter Demetrius Mox at right guard. I mean, they're going to be knocking on those doors there and see if Ohio State can keep them closed. So, but it's part and parcel to all those things coming together for JT. And JT has improved too, obviously. One of the things is he's not as reluctant or not as timid to pull the trigger on some passes. And, without a doubt, his confidence between him and his receivers is on an upward track.
Tim, you know, I thought of this driving up to the Monroe Superstore today. Of course, we're coming to you from the showroom. All our guests join us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. I know some coaches make a big deal out of this. How about Urban Meyer? Would he have coached? I want to hit on this two-week layoff as well. But before that, I mean, does he use the revenge factor as part of his preparation over the last couple of weeks, or is it just a reminder?
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you're talking where Custer used to walk? Is that what I'm hearing? But anyway, you use everything at your disposal, but – you know, I've been pointing out to people, well, I think I beat last year because it had two huge gaffes in the kicking game. Now, one of those you could argue was an illegal play by Penn State, but the refs didn't call it. And, they, on the blocked field goal, they had one player pull a blocker out of the way so the other guy could run through the hole and block the kick. But they didn't call it. And I'm not sure there was a reprimand from the Big Ten about it. So it's down in the history books as a, block kick, scoop and score. And, those two plays, if Ohio State had just tackled that kid, you know, it would still have been a 4-point game. Or if they had just pounced on the ball, it would have been a 4-point game. Instead, it was, Penn State had the lead and Ohio State, had a chance finally in the end to come back and, make something happen. And Ohio State's last two plays, the first two were incomplete passes and the last two were sacks. So, that's where, as I pointed out in the paper on Monday, you can read it at dispatch.com, that's where a lot of the questions started about the Ohio State passing game. I mean, people forget that Ohio State outgained Penn State last year by like almost 150 yards in that game. But in the end, it couldn't get it done in the fourth quarter. And that's where a lot of these question marks came up about JT Barrett, about the offensive line, about the receivers, yada, yada, yada. And so I don't know if revenge is the right word. I think what you want, what they want to do is go out and prove they're better than that. Just like, you know, their big deal right now is to prove they're better than they showed against Oklahoma. That's more, I think, more salient at this point, because this is this year's team. And against the best team they've played so far this year, they laid an egg.
Kid talking to Tim May. We're coming to you from Monroe, Michigan, by the way, about 1 mile south of a statue where George Armstrong Custer, of course, is celebrated in this community. Born in Monroe, American Civil War cavalry commander. Again, my name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. Hey, the Lions, who we also have on our network, Mr. Tim May, have made a big deal. And Jim Caldwell does not make a big deal out of anything, but the importance of 2 weeks off, mainly because the Lions are banged up a little bit, including former Ohio State tackle Taylor Decker, who might be practicing again. They have not, they've sealed their lips on that one. But tell me about time off for the Ohio State Buckeyes, how Urban approaches it, and going into this game, Penn State coming off that win against Michigan. Week off, standard procedure in college football, Mr. May, as opposed to a bye week. What's your thoughts on it? And did Urban touch on it when he got together earlier in the week?
Yeah, I mean, he did. I mean, last week they practiced, 3 days pretty hard, one of which was a scrimmage, about a 60-play scrimmage. They were in shells, but it was more of like an at-speed kind of scrimmage where, you know, you want to maintain that rhythm you've got going, that consistency you've got going, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, I'm not even sure if you do that when you play games, to be honest with you, because when guys get banged up and stuff, you know, you're putting guys in jeopardy out there. The thing about it is Ohio State had three key players have to leave the game in Nebraska. Paris Campbell, the hybrid back, Jamarco Jones, the starting left tackle, and Jalen Holmes, one of their four standout defensive ends, all had to leave because of head bumps. And that, to me, was as critical of the luxury of having last week off. Those guys got to get healthy again, and they're all expected to play. So I think, if anything, it helps Ohio State from a depth standpoint, maybe even from a starting lineup standpoint, going into what, at this point, is the biggest game of the season. And I don't think anybody can make an argument about that. But, you know, when you got things really rolling, you want to kind of keep playing, but sometimes you kind of need to step back and these guys have been going since July the 27th. That's when their camp started. And, so I think it was welcomed by all as a little bit of a breather, so to speak.
Two quick ones, Tim, and I'll let you go. Tim May joins us, of course, here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Large barbecue chicken pizza, $11, no coupon through the end of the month. Saw your note today, read the story and the alternate gray jerseys that the Ohio State Buckeyes will be wearing, along with some other touches of gray as well. Enjoyed the story. Anything that you can share with our listeners?
I wouldn't call it touches of gray. I'd call it gray with touches of scarlet. I mean, they do what they do now, man. I mean, I think Nike had these uniforms designed, and they're going to wear them, and that's that. You know, they're going to have scarlet shoes on. They're going to have gray, variable tones of gray helmet with scarlet Buckeye leaves on them, which I think actually that part looks pretty cool. The pants are okay, but, you know, it probably would look cooler if they had reversed the color scheme sort of and had gray jerseys with scarlet stripes, the scarlet stripe motif on the arms, but they just went different shades of gray. As I pointed out, it wasn't quite 50 shades of gray, but it's getting pretty close with the way they did it. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, other people can judge that. I think the main thing is, do they show up for on time for kickoff, no matter what they're dressed in? I think that's the main thing on Saturday.
All right, no play-by-play for me on 50 Shades of Grey being a play-by-play man. Hey, before I let you go, we're right here at the borders. You know, I touched on this before. What a week with a community I would say would be about 65% Ohio State fans, 35%, might be a little more, Michigan fans, and we are sitting right on the line. What a week we've had on television, radio, sports talk shows, print media, social media, everything else talking about the University of Michigan, who, by the way, were just throttled by Penn State in that game. How did that reverberate down in Columbus?
It reverberated about the same way. I mean, it's, it comes a time when you got to push your chips to the center of the table, you know, show what you've got. And, that's without a doubt, it's still a young team up there that's rebuilding from losing all those guys from last year. There's no doubt about it. You can see where they're missing guys. But, you know, they ran into a buzzsaw on Saturday night at Happy Valley in Ohio State, you know, seeing that same buzzsaw, that whiteout. Ridiculous thing, and the bottom line is they didn't handle it, you know, for want of another word, you know, want of another description. But then when you think about the way they bushwhacked Penn State a year ago, just think of the flip in the score from one year to the next. I'm not sure how much it says about Michigan as much as how much it says about Penn State, because Penn State has definitely bounced back from their from the depths of their NCAA problems back after the Sherry Sandusky affair, the penalties they faced. I mean, you got to give it up to Penn State because they've not only rebuilt, but they've got some outstanding players, and that's usually the hardest thing to get back to a program is those superstar players that can make the difference for you. Saquon Barkley is that. Jason Kabinda definitely is that. They're outstanding linebacker. Trace McSorley, I'm not sure how much he was recruited, but just like Baker Mayfield, but man, that guy is a hellacious college quarterback. So, and Mike Gesicki, you know, they beat Ohio State for Mike Gesicki, the tight end. I mean, that's what I'm looking at is every year it seems like things change. But well, we'll say this, since Urban Meyer has been at Ohio State for sure, and really for like the last 18 years, Ohio State's been in the mix, or 17 years, Ohio State has been in the mix there with whomever else is knocking on the door except for one season. So I don't know. I don't know what it says about Michigan. I guess we'll find out at the end of next month.
I know what a lot of fans are saying. You know, they've had one year, 1997, really in the last, if you look at it, they've been three or four lost seasons for almost 25 years, except for that 97 campaign. Listen, I'm going to ask you to put your final question, Tim May, your coach's hat on just for a moment. I know you're a geographic.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Let me grab it. All right, now I got it on. Go ahead.
Got it. I know you're a geographical traveling place kicker, but the coach's hat is on. If Ohio State is successful Saturday against Penn State, what would they have done right?
They will have figured out a way to not let Penn State exploit the right side of the offensive line. I'm talking about Isaiah Prince and second game collegiate starter Demetrius Knox at right guard. That's where Penn State kind of came after him in the when it was cutting time last year, and other teams did from then on. Michigan State, Michigan, Clemson, they will protect JT Barrett enough to let them get their passing game underway. They will run the ball effectively against a defense that pretty much, I'm not saying it takes chances, but it is all about being aggressive. I'm talking about Penn State is, but when you play that way, you also give up some things and some opportunities. Let's put it that way. And will Ohio State take advantage of the opportunities? And number two, you know, Northwestern found a way to sort of throttle Saquon Barkley until just couldn't get anything done offensively. I mean, they were in that game, and, of course, we saw what Iowa did. I mean, Saquon Barkley had 300 yards, all-purpose yards in that game, and Penn State had to win on the final play of the game. So, you know, if Ohio State can bow up defensively and just keep Saquon Barkley from doing that and somehow or another contain Trace McSorley in his running – Trace McSorley is as dangerous running as he is throwing, and that's the thing you have to keep in mind against a quarterback like that, which Ohio State had trouble with Baker Mayfield at crunch time several times. That's what Ohio State has to accomplish. I'm not by any stretch saying they're going to shut out Penn State, but they've got to be able to punch and counterpunch in this one.
Well, 2 o'clock pregame show, 3:30 kick right here in the Ohio State Buckeye Radio Network. Thanks, Tim. Great job as always. Appreciate you coming on.
Mike, it's always a pleasure, man.
Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, beat writer for the Buckeyes. TASS Electronics Update, sports, weather, traffic right around the corner is always brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, the show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Ram Power Days continue here at the Superstore.
Sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board. We are a member of the prestigious Detroit Lions radio network. We'll have all the coverage Sunday night when the Detroit Lions take on Pittsburgh. Talk some Ohio State football in the first segment with Tim May. Was talking about the importance of Ohio State having a week off before they take on Penn State. Of course, that is Saturday down in Columbus. Same thing for the Detroit Lions. We talked about it, earlier in the week late last week. Couldn't have come at a better time for the Detroit Lions. Mike O'Hara joins us, DetroitLions.com. Read all of his work today. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mike, but I got to tell you, that's the first time my name and prestigious have been mentioned within the same 25 sentences. I'm gonna suture those together somehow.
I would think your agent's already all over that situation, and it's emblazed someplace on a new business card. Hey, speaking of Ohio, speaking of Ohio State, Mr. O'Hara, and speaking of what's going on with Taylor Decker, and you know we're hearing some rumblings that he has practiced and might be close to coming back. Is that an accurate report?
No, he has not practiced yet, and I think the first chance that the first viewing we'll have is tomorrow when the Lions really begin their first practice for the next game. First of all, he's on the physically unable to perform list. He has to be, once he starts practice from that moment, they have 21 days to put him on the active roster to decide or leave him out for the season. So once you put that, you know, once you start that clock, you better be sure that the guy's going to be ready within the 21-day period. So we'll know more tomorrow. If I had to guess, and I will right now, I'd be more surprised if he's off the list tomorrow than I would if he isn't. So we'll see.
Again, Mike O'Hara joins us, DetroitLions.com. Pittsburgh, of course, on Sunday night. We'll have the game right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Lions have lost two straight. Pittsburgh's won two straight. Two-game lead in the AFC North coming off a win over Cincinnati. Lions banged up 3-3. Tell me a little bit about the matchup. I mentioned banged up. I mentioned the importance of the bye week. Where are they? Is Matthew Stafford better? Is Quinn better? We've also read stories about Ziggy Ansah, how they need him to get going. Three main points there, if you could touch on. You don't have to spend a ton of time on them, but Stafford, Quinn, and Ansah to get him going.
Well, let's start with Stafford. You know, he went into the last game they played 2 weeks ago against New Orleans. I'm sorry, not against New Orleans. Yeah, against New Orleans. And he had an ankle and a hamstring issue. To that, he added sore ribs. He got hit a couple of times, and apparently on both sides. So we'll know a little bit more about, will he play? Yeah, he'll play. He's as tough as they come, and he'll play. Whether he'll be limited remains to be seen, and he won't know that until you actually get into the game. Ziggy Ansah, was asked that last night on WJR here in Detroit. And, he was held out all of training camp, all of the preseason, and he's played in the six games. But if all of that rest couldn't get him healthy, I don't think a bye week is all of a sudden going to be a magic cure. Now look, he's got four sacks in six games, but three of those were in one game, one in the other five. Because of injury this year and last, he just has not been the player who just tore offenses up in 2015 when he had 14 and a half sacks and went to the Pro Bowl. When he's at his best or even close to it, he's one of the best pass rushers in pro football, one of the best defensive ends in pro football, but we haven't seen that this year. Golden Tate doesn't look like he's going to play on Sunday, and that's a gigantic loss because it takes away from the Detroit Lions offense a player who can make yards on his own when he has the ball in his hands. You know, Golden Tate plays wide receiver like a running back. Get him out in the open field and he stops and he starts, change of pace, change of direction, and he's one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League, at yards after the catch were all important. Look, a lot of guys will catch the ball, go down, take a hit, and a 10-yard catch is a 10-yard gain, period. Glover can take 10 yards and turn it into 50 as well as almost anybody in the league. And he doesn't do it on pure speed. He does it on elusiveness.
Mike O'Hara joins us, DetroitLions.com, here on Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Three teams in the National Football League this week are favorites, and they are the road team. Minnesota, no surprise there. Cleveland, I want to touch on this in a little bit, too. I saw it in your work today with the Sean Kizer, Toledo guy. Atlanta's a favorite, taking on the Jets, and Pittsburgh, a three-point favorite over the Lions. Of course, that is on Sunday night. Kyrie Thornton, Mike O'Hara, tell me about that. Does he play? And obviously, with the way guys are banged up, I would hope he would help.
You know, sometimes, you know, you don't realize what you have until you don't have them. And I think that's been the case with a couple of guys. First of all, we're talking about Kyrie Thornton. You know, Haloti Ngata is out for the year with a triceps injury or a biceps injury, or it's connected to his, you know, one of those muscles has been torn loose and he can't play without it. And so, you know, they need some more beef in interior of their defensive line. And Kyrie Thornton, look, he's a good complementary interior defender. A very, very powerful player. He's just coming off a 6-week suspension for violating, you know, one of the NFL's policies on substance of abuse or whatever it was. He's back. Look, they didn't take him off that list not to play him. I'd be shocked if he doesn't play Sunday. But like I said, he is a very, very powerful player on the interior. And another guy I forgot to mention here is Kenny Golladay, the rookie wide receiver. Hasn't played the last 3.5 games. He gives them something that they don't have, just like Golden Tate does with his ability to make yards after the catch. Kenny Golladay gives him a 6'4" receiver who can get beyond the secondary and make catches. He's a very, very valuable asset. Look, he's not the finished product yet, as he showed in his first game, caught 2 touchdown passes, 1 on a fade, 1 on beating the cornerback off the ball into the end zone. They don't have that. He gives them that.
Hey, let's face it, Minnesota's on top of the North right now. Mike O'Hara joins us here, but this North is wide open. Even if Pittsburgh walks in there and wins, I'm going through the rest of the Lions' schedule, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but, you know, if you follow the team and you do what I do, and, hey, I tell people all the time, and there's only three teams I root for. It's the Lions, the Tigers, and the Buckeyes. You look at that schedule going forward, they get some guys back and get things rolling the right direction. Listen, with Rodgers out in Green Bay, Chicago, by the way, surprising win over a Carolina team that had been playing pretty good. North is going to be very interesting coming down the stretch for that division title.
Look, Mike, you and I, there are two things we don't have to follow the rules in. One is the court of law. Innocent until proven guilty, we can say anything we want. We're not involved in the trial. And the coaches take them one game at a time. We can take them 10 at a time if we want. So that's, you know, I'm looking at the whole 10 games right now, and I think the Lions have to get to 4-4 at the halfway point, and one of those four has to be beating Green Bay. Look, you want to beat the Steelers. It's a home game and all that. But I think they're in okay shape if they split the next two, and one of the wins is over the Green Bay Packers, because it makes them 2-0 in the division with road wins over Minnesota and Green Bay, with Cleveland coming to town after that the next game, then Chicago and some others, but home games in the division. I think they're in decent shape if they win the Green Bay game. They're in much better shape if they win them both.
Mike, tell me a little bit about, listen, this has been, I'll tell you what, the two, the uproars around here in the Toledo and the Monroe area have been, and I think you can guess them both without, you know, being a rocket scientist here, is everybody talking about Michigan getting blown out at Penn State, and because a kid out of Central Catholic in Notre Dame, and Central Catholic here in Toledo and Notre Dame now, quarterback in, starting quarterback for the Browns, in and out, and you touched on it in your story, a lot of talk in this town. What's going on with our local guy, DeShone Kizer? Are they trying to wreck him early or what?
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, Central Catholic, when you say that, you know, there's a Central Catholic in Pittsburgh and a guy named Dan Marino played there, and there's a Central Catholic in Portland, Oregon, and Joey Harrington played there. So there's some lineage there for kids from Central Catholic. That's just a little-known thing that's in the back of my mind. Look, I don't know if DeShone Kizer is a National Football League quarterback. I wasn't that high on him coming out. but who am I to judge? But I'll tell you one thing. He will not be a National Football League quarterback if they're handling him the way they are. You can't bring guys in and out, in and out, in and out, and expect them to develop. It's just not the way to do it. If you're going to play him, if you're going to play a young quarterback and you're 0-6 and you're 0-7 and you're 0-8 or whatever, you've got to play him. Now, you don't play him until he get beaten to death like Derek Carr did, you know, in 2002 with the Houston Texans. No, I'm not Derek Carr, David Carr, his brother. You've got to let them take their lumps, and you've got to give some consistency to that team in the huddle, listening to one voice running the show, and it's got to be DeShone Kizer, because you're not going anywhere with those other guys anyway. Now, look, who's to say that after this year there might not be another coaching change in Cleveland and they go another way with another quarterback? But for now, this is the guy you developed and drafted. I say you have to go with him.
I would be totally shocked if Hugh Jackson's around next year, even the remaining portion of this season. Final question, Mike, always gracious with your time. Thank you for that. I think this is a tough matchup Sunday. I don't think I'm alone in that for the Detroit Lions. If Detroit was to walk out of Ford Field on Sunday night with a win, how did that game transpire, and what would they have done right?
Well, they have to stop the run, you know, with Le'Veon Bell. And when you really think about it, I don't know if Le'Veon Bell is the best runner in pro football, but he's right up there. And I also don't know if Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the National Football League, but he's up there. So you've got two guys who are at the top five of their position. You've got two to three, you know, Pro Bowl on a given year offensive linemen, and you've got a legacy quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. And what also you have is a football team, a football franchise that has stood the test of time like any other in contemporary pro football from the 70s through 2017. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get power. You're going to get excellence. You're going to get a runner. You're going to get big play people, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in that regard, I put them even ahead of the New England Patriots for what they've done for 50 years. No other franchise in the National Football League has done that. And so there's a consistency of performance, there's a consistency of expectation, and there's a consistency of what they demand from their football team from top to bottom. And you're going to get that every single game from the Steelers. I think it might be the toughest game on the schedule for the Detroit Lions. It's not unwinnable. They're 3-point underdogs. They're coming off a bye. Rise up. This is your opportunity, guys.
Mike, as always, thank you very much. We'll have the game, of course, 6 o'clock pregame show right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket in Toledo, part of the prestigious Detroit Lions radio network, and kickoff at 8:30. Mike, thanks as always. Appreciate it. Always enjoy your appearances.
Okay, great. I can't wait till we talk again. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com. We'll be back to close it out after this time.